Welcome to the Balanced Mind. My name is Dion Bicycle, and as a supportive counselor, I am dedicated to helping you achieve a better quality of life. Today, I want to start by asking a question that feels a lot like a heavy backpack. One we all have been carrying around for quite a long time. It's a question that has a strange habit of hopping up onto the best and worst of times. Sometimes it hits us after a great victory, or more often it waits until the house is quiet and you're just about to sleep. The whisper comes and creeps into our minds, and we ask, why am I not good enough? We've all heard it, and today we're going to stop running from it and actually look at it. I want you to imagine something that I call the invisible ceiling. Think about a time you finally hit a goal. Maybe it was a promotion at work, or you finally reached that number on the scale, or maybe it was a Sunday where the house was completely and perfectly clean and the laundry was folded up and everything was on its place. For about 5 minutes, you feel incredible. You feel like I have conquered something, and we feel proud of ourselves. But then the ceiling drops. Suddenly, you're already looking to the next thing. You're scanning the horizon and feeling like you've still left behind something. You look at what you just achieved, that thing that was supposed to make you happy, and you think, this isn't enough. You know, I need to do more. We treat being good enough, the feeling of it, like a destination on a map. We tell ourselves that if we just keep on driving, just keep on what we're doing, keep on, we'll eventually cross the border into the land of enough. But the secret is, the destination doesn't exist. Because every time you move forward, the horizon moves with you. You see, feeling not good enough isn't just a random thought. We actually use it like a filter for our entire lives. Think about it like this. When a friend gives you a genuine, heartfelt compliment, you run through that filter in terms of, you know what, he or she's my friend. They were just being nice. But when a stranger who doesn't know you at all and doesn't know your heart offers one tiny piece of criticism that also goes through the same filter and feels like the ultimate truth, it carries all the weight of the world. Isn't that a funny thing? So in this broken world, it wants you to believe that when you arrived, or when you finally have enough, it means that, hey, you have a number of properties, for instance, or cars. Now, if I have 10 of the best cars, or I have at least one property in the city, and one by the coast, and one in the bushveld. Then I can be happy wherever I am. That's a number of things. Or you can even take that number into family-wise, you know. If I have one child or four children, then I'll be a happy father or mother. And I'll be enough because I can be a mother or a father to four children. Then it will be perfect. Another word that people tend to look at is a size, you know. Social media tells us, you know, men, you need to fit into a size large. Then you're the perfect build, and you're not too big, you're not too small, you're just fine, you're looking right. But then I look at my size, my shirt number, and it's an extra large, and all of a sudden, I feel like, you know what, I'm not good enough. Because I fit into a size extra large. I need to fit into a large. Also, this is very true for people, especially men in the gym. They want to look big, they want to be strong. But they forget that they are strong. They may not look it that way, but because of the size of someone else, you feel not good enough. And then again, people, is money. Having the right salary. You know what? As a counselor, I don't make a lot of money. But I would say, you know what, a doctor, if I can be a doctor, then I can make lots of money and I can still help people. But I'm not a doctor. And then I think that I'm not good enough to help people. Because doctors help people and get paid a good amount. But that's wrong. We can't look at the salary. Just because someone is a CEO of a company doesn't mean he feels he's enough. Or they don't struggle with this question of, am I good enough? Money does not give you that answer. But money can easily call to you in a sense to tell you that you are not good enough. So, being good is enough is not a number, a size, or salary. It is all about the state of mind. Working on your mindset. Working on the fact on what is the truth in my life. What can I believe? What is absolute fact in my life? The fact is, I'm okay, it's fine. But the fact is also saying you don't have to have all the things. Because it is just things, a number, a size, that tells you you are not good enough, but you are good enough. And we're going to look at that a bit more in today's podcast. So now we have identified the ache and the pain, and we've named the feeling. We have to remember that we aren't born with this backpack that we call not good enough. We pick it up somewhere along the way. And in the next few minutes, I want to play the detective game, and I want to invite you to please play it with me. And let's figure out where this idea of not being good enough actually comes from. We are busy with an investigation about that one question, We often ask ourselves, why am I not good enough? So let's investigate and look at the evidence of this question. First, let us look at where we were brought up as a child. Let us look at our childhood blueprint. You know what? Actually, when we were brought up, we actually had something that we call an invisible contract. Now, I know this sounds very business-like and maybe not very loving when it comes to parents and their children, but let's just look at this analogy. Think back to your dinner table. Was the conversation about how you felt that day, or was it more in the line of what did you do and what did you achieve that day? Many of us grew up in homes where love felt like a transaction. We learned that to be good enough for our parents' attention, we had to be the star athlete or this incredible, organized, and well-learned scholar that's going to be studying at Oxford University in the next year or two. And then they're like 10 years old, right? You get parents like that. So, also, people, maybe you were one of those children who were an easy child. You know, did his homework, did his sport, come back, loved his mom and dad, and that's it. You know? And then the parents would say, oh, you're a good boy or a good girl. You know? But that was more transactional. Because you're a good star, or because you're a scholar, you were told that, hey, you are good enough. Now, let us look at the evidence in your adult life due to this invisible contract. So, why is it that you can't sit on a couch for 10 minutes without feeling an itchy sense of guilt? You know, that is not ambition. That is survival reflex. You are 30, 40, even 50 years old, but you are still trying to earn a gold star from a ghost. Maybe it is a parent who was never satisfied, or a teacher who only praised you like a gifted child, no? Gifted kids. You've carried that blueprint into your career, your parenting, and even, or still, your mirror. You're running a race for an audience that isn't even in the room anymore. You aren't working toward the future. You're running away from the past, where you felt less than, because you weren't perfect. So the final piece of evidence in this trap is the exhaustion we feel. We feel like we are constantly failing. It's not because we're a failure. It's because we are following a broken map. We are trying to build a life of happiness using a blueprint designed for survival. I want you to pause and listen to that voice in your head right now. Does it sound like a person you want to be? Or does it sound more like a scared 6-year-old trying to be good enough to be noticed. Identifying that the voice isn't yours is the first step to finally putting the backpack down. The second trap we fall in is the inadequate economy. The manufactured gap. Now, let's look at the evidence in your pocket, right? We live in an inadequate economy. A system that literally needs you to stay dissatisfied. Have you ever thought of it like that? Because when you're dissatisfied, you keep on changing gears to function. If you woke up tomorrow and decided you were completely 100% good enough as you are, an entire wing of the global economy would collapse. No, think about it. The anti-aging industry, the get-rich-quick schemes, and the luxury status of brands, they don't actually sell a product. No, they sell a breach, a type of breach. They spend billions of dollars to create a gap in your life between who you are and the version you want to be. They point out the flaw in your life you didn't know you had and then promise that their product or service is the only way to get there. It's a very interesting concept, right? So, the evidence is found in your screen time. We are the first generation in human history that doesn't just compare ourselves to our neighbors. We compare our behind the scenes to the top 0.1% of the entire world. When you're scrolling at 2 a.m., you aren't just looking at pictures. No. You are entering a courtroom where you've already been found guilty. You see a 25-year-old with a private jet, a parent whose house is perfectly clean, or my personal favorite, or the one I struggle with, is the body transformation photos. So our brain wasn't designed to handle 100 perfect lives in question marks before we can even get a good night's rest. So we're looking at a digital funhouse mirror. It's distorted, it's edited, but most of all, it is a lie. And this lie creates that feeling of not being good enough. Let's look at further evidence of how this economy tricks us into a comparison map. Let me explain. We add up everyone else's edited highlights and subtract them from our own messy, unedited reality. The answer is that the math is always not good enough on our side. But there is the detective secret. Happiness is bad for business. If you're content, you aren't clicking, right? You're not wondering, you're not looking for something new. Because we're unhappy, we want to look at stuff It makes us too busy about ourselves. So, for business, if you are satisfied, you aren't buying the solution. The not enough feeling isn't a defect in your character. It is manufactured product you've been tricked into consuming. You are being targeted by people, businesses, whose job is to make you sure you never feel you have arrived, you know? You have everything you need. Let us break that algorithm. The final piece of evidence in this trap is the moving goalpost. Have you noticed how once you buy the solution, the product or the service, the new car, the new skin cream, or the new productivity app, the feeling of being enough only lasts a few days? That's because the economy has already released the next version. They've already moved the finish line, the line you want to achieve, in other words. So we are running on a treadmill that is literally powered by our own self-doubt. The faster you run, the more the machine profits. Recognizing this isn't just about self-help, it's about the act of rebellion. But choosing to say, you know what, I am good enough, is the only way to stop this running treadmill that we're on. To wrap up our investigation, we are moving into the most subtle and dangerous trap of all. This is where we look at the evidence of how we've traded our soul for a spreadsheet. But before we go into the evidence again for this third trap, when it comes to this thought that we struggle with, so let us look at the third case file of this topic. The evidence of performance trap. We live in a culture that asks, what do you do before they even think of asking, what is your name? From the time we're in school, we are trained to view ourselves as a human capital, what we can do for people. We've been taught that our value, is a math equation. Your worth equals your output. Oh, and this is so true. And we really struggle with this. The evidence is in your vocabulary. Think about how often you describe yourself using work words. I was productive today. Or I was just useless today. Or, you know what, I'm really falling behind on my work and I need to put in more work, I need to put in more time, invest more time into this project. I'm not as focused as I should be. So we turn our lives into a resume identity. What can you do to show that you are valuable? Where we only feel like we deserve to exist if we have a list of accomplishments to show for it. I am a lawyer and I fight cases for the poor. I am an advocate for people, for children, stuff you can do, right? But it's not who you are. Let's look at the powerful piece of evidence, the post-Tubman crash. Have you ever noticed that when you finally get the thing you thought would make you good enough, a degree, a job, a title, or a specific number in your bank account, then the feeling of satisfaction, it seems to disappear. Almost instantly, really. It's like eating a meal that leaves you hungrier than you were before. Make me think of a certain food chain in our country, right? This is the arrival fallacy. We tell ourselves, once I arrive at X, I'll be good enough. But when you get to X, you realize your self-worth doesn't come from the thing you were chasing. You're still the same person. And now you've just exhausted from trying to reach something that you thought you're gonna be a different person, but you're not. All you have is exhaustion. The evidence showed that in the performance trap, the finish line is being moved by someone else's marketing team. It's like running a race where every time when you get within 10 feet of the finish line, someone reaches out and then moves it 10 miles further away. We compare our chapter 1 like it's someone else's chapter 20. In other words, when we see a 25-year-old millionaire on our screen, we suddenly feel that we are not worthy. And our stable, meaningful life all of a sudden feels like a failure. But here's the insight. You are comparing in a race where you never signed up for. You are measuring your internal soul against an external output. And that is a game designed to make you lose so you can keep running on that treadmill. So the final piece of evidence is the distinction we've forgotten. So it means we know it, but we forget it. So let's look at it. The difference between utility and humanity. Your utility is what you produce, what you can do. Your job, your chores, your errands. Your humanity is who you are. Your kindness, your curiosity, your love, the way you show up for the people you love. That is humanity. But the trap wants you to believe they are the same thing, but it's not. The evidence of your life proves they are not. You love your friends and family because of who they are, not because of what their productivity can do for that day or that instance. So why don't you just give yourself some grace? It is time to realize that we are not a failure because we didn't hit a benchmark. We didn't achieve something. We are only human beings who was never meant to be a machine that keeps on producing the same amount of work or things we need to be good enough. I want to get real with you, and I want to admit that I also struggle with that question, actually on a daily basis, but in a number of categories in my life. So, yes, I have a disability, and then when people say, you know, no, you can't do this because you have a disability, then the question comes, but why am I not good enough? Because I can do the work. Also, due to the disability, I don't have a strong body. Look, I always wanted to look good, you know, with the muscles and the strength. That is what I desire. And then I go on social media, and you see these before and after pictures of men who was not exercising, and suddenly after 3 months or so, they look different, or after a year. And then that question is automatically in my brain. And I think, but why can't I have that? Because I also want to be good enough. You see, the world says that if you want to be in a romantic relationship, you have to look a certain way. You have to have this dark hair, blue eyes, a brown skin or a tanned skin with the muscles bulking in the right way. Then you'll be good enough for the relationship. Have you ever had it? Can you relate about that? So what happens then is I turn around, I put down the phone, and my thoughts are negative about myself. I say to myself, you know what, Dion, you can't have those things because you don't look the way you should. Also, then again, when people can work and they can have an occupation and they get paid quite a good salary, I feel, oh shucks, but I'm not that. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for that. And these questions shadow what is true. And that is that, geez, but I am still a good person. And I do stand up for what's wrong or what's right. I can make a difference, and I don't have to be that picture. That picture, I tend to forget, is only a moment of someone else's story. While the person in the picture or in the video doesn't have a clue who I am. But yet, we don't want to recognize our own truth and believe it. We rather believe in what we see and then don't see in ourselves. It is tough to face this question, but we need to remember that there is truth when it comes to ourselves. So, we've looked at the evidence. We've seen the childhood blueprint, inadequacy, economy, and the performance trap. We looked at those three. And we identify that these forces are the forces that keep on asking us, why am I not good enough? Now that we solved the mystery of where it comes from, let's look at the question of how do we stop this cycle. We spend the last few minutes looking at the case files of our lives. We've seen that there is traps, but how do we stay out of them? So I want to give you a practical tool that I like to call the evidence journal. So the not enough voice. We need to remember that is the voice that comes from a liar. But it's a very convincing one because it uses half truth. It is truth in a sense, but actually not really. And that would make it a lie. And to beat these lies, you have to fight it with an actual evidence. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a book, a journal, and every evening for the next 7 days, I want you to write down three pieces of evidence that you are good enough to do that does not have to do with your productivity. Let me give you a few examples. You can say, you know what, I was a kind listener today when a friend or family member called. Or you can write that you notice the way the light is hitting the trees in the summer afternoon. Or you can say, you know what, I chose to rest today because my body needed rest. I was tired. Even though you feel that you had times to go do certain chores in your kitchen or around your house. Don't let that comes in. By doing this, you are retraining your brain to look for your humanity instead of your utility. You are building a new case that's against this voice of not being enough. One where the verdict is enough. I also want to leave you with a perspective shift that changed my own life. It's called the radical so what? So what? Let me explain. Sometimes the voice of inaccuracy wins the round, right? Sometimes you will feel you fail a project or forgotten a birthday, or you feel like you are the messiest person on the planet. But in those moments, the voice will scream at you, "See, you are not good enough." And I want you to look at that voice in the eye and say, you know what? So what? So what if I'm not the best in the room? So what if I'm a work in progress? So what if I didn't hit the benchmark today? When you say so what, you take the power back. You realize that your right to exist and to be loved isn't up for debate based on your performance. You are dropping the heavy backpack because you've realized that being imperfect isn't a crime. It is just the price of admission of being a human being. As we close this episode, I want you to go back to that question we started with. The one we've been investigating, why am I not good enough? I hope you can see that the question itself is a lie. You were born enough. You were enough before you even had a job. Because You were enough before you ever had a bank account, before you ever had a social media feed. You were good enough. The horizon is always going to move. You need to remember that. There's always going to be a new product to buy and a new goal to hit. But you can stop running right now. You can stand still and realize that the destination you've been looking for is the ground you've already been standing on. Here's the key. Enough is not a number, a size, or a salary. It is a state of mind. We've talked about not feeling good enough and how we can combat the question. But if you're struggling with this question in a very specific area of your life and find that the question is constantly harming your self-image or personal relationships, a more personalized approach can be transformative. As a supportive counselor, I am dedicated to enhancing the total well-being of my clients through a system approach counseling, helping you to achieve wholeness in your body, mind, and spirit. My focus is on caregiving and the personal growth, not just symptom management. We'll work together to help you navigate your well-being, whether it's related to physical health or mental health, so you can achieve a better quality of life. I'm committed to helping you facilitate self-care, enhancing your overall well-being, and support your bio-spiritual wellness. We'll develop a plan together, and I will be there to train, to guide, and to monitor you to make lasting changes. My mission is to help you protect yourself from negative factors, prevent risk factors, and that will lead to problems. And I will educate you on how to make the good lifestyle choices that impact your health by giving you practical coping skills that can promote a positive state of well-being. If you would like to contact me, please do so through my page on Facebook, the Dion Bicycle page, or you can send me a direct email at dionlovebull@gmail.com. That is Delta Echo Orange November Lima Alpha Bravo Unit @gmail.com. And in the subject line, you can just write "The Balanced Mind." We have covered a lot of ground today. We opened the case file on that heavy question. Why am I not good enough? And we found the fingerprints of three distinct traps. We saw the childhood blueprint that taught us love was a transaction. We saw the inadequacy of the economy that tries to sell us a version of ourselves that we don't actually need. And we saw the performance trap that tricked us into thinking our worth is tied to our productivity. But most importantly, we've looked at the evidence the evidence show that the voice that we keep on hearing that we are not good enough, that tells us a half-truth. It is actually a liar. And that lie manufactures a feeling within us. But that lie is actually a ghost. He doesn't exist. I want you to take a deep breath right now. If you're driving or you're walking or maybe you are busy in the house, just feel the air in your lungs. That breath is your first evidence piece. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to hit a certain goal to deserve it. It was given to you because you are. You are a being and you are worthy to be here and you are good enough. We spend so much of our lives trying to cross the finish line that doesn't actually exist. We've been running a race we've never actually been invited to run. But today the investigation is closed. You can stop looking for the enough in a bank account, or the enough in the mirror, or a gold star from the past, or someone who wants you ask it from. You can't find something out there that has been inside you all the time. So as you go on in this time of holiday and festivities, carry this one truth with you. Enough is not a number. It is not a size. It is not a salary. It is a state of mind where you know and believe that you are good enough. You are the detective of your own life. When the voice comes back tomorrow, and trust me, it will, don't argue with it. Just show it the new evidence. Show it your humanity. Show it your heart. To make it practical, show that voice the things you wrote down of stuff you did during the day. To remind yourself and that voice that you are enough. And remember, you are a human being, not a human doing. You are quite simply and already enough as you are. My name is Dion Bicycle, and I'll see you in the next episode right here on The Balanced Mind.